Before we jump into the episode today, we wanted to tell you that the How to Have Threesomes video course is now open for enrollment.
We have spent years working on this project and are so, so excited to share it with you.
In this course, we teach you all of our secrets for finding your ideal unicorn, from navigating dating apps and play parties to forming connections with friends and with professionals.
Regardless of your experience level, this video course is full of actionable tips, tricks, and worksheets, like the needs list, kinky questionnaire, and what makes a high-converting Tinder bio.
We show you how to express your deepest desires without destroying a relationship, plus how to maintain excitement with your partner.
If you want to have the best threesomes of your life, this is the video course for you.
We are now also offering coaching for people who want that individual attention. Some of the best money we ever spent was on a professional to help guide us through our challenging times.
And not every therapist is trained to navigate non-monogamy, so if you and your partner want some extra support in these tricky situations, we're here for you guys.
Another thing that we're offering is a sexy getaway. Come and spend a week with us on a tropical island. We're going to take you on some amazing experiences like hiking waterfalls, partner acro, fire dancing, and some crazy party nights. We've also teamed up with experts to bring you workshops in Tantra, Shibari, trust building, and pickup.
Plus, personalized photo shoots to show off the best version of yourself online. By the end of the retreat, you'll be more confident, have a better connection with your partner, and a deeper understanding of your desires. This retreat will be a bunch of wild and sexy times, and we're stoked to bring you guys out here.
We're offering the video course and the coaching on teachable.com. If you want more details about the couples retreat, we have a form you can fill out. All the links will be available in the show notes or on the How to Have Threesomes Instagram.
You guys are also welcome to reach out to us directly for coaching or anything else you might need. And now, back to the episode.
This is How to Have Threesomes. I'm Key.
And I'm Lily, and we are here today drinking hot cocoa, and we have some things to tell you about Japan and all the sexy things that happen and don't happen there. Key, what would you like to talk about today?
Oh, there's so much to talk about. I love Japan. It was like my favorite place ever. Not my favorite place ever, but it was a really, really cool place to be. It was like super culturally different. We got to dive into the sexuality a little bit. And our last episode that we posted, we hadn't fully explored or figured things out. We had just gone to the strip theater. So in this one, we're going to explore the rest of the time that we spent in Japan.
Yeah. So if you haven't heard the episode about the strip theater, I think we had a guest, Dakota, on, and we just talked about how it was really fucking strange. And we were like, is this the whole culture of Japan? Like, is this just the best they have to offer? Was this really strange show? And it turns out we just went to a really weird fucking show that is not the entire culture of Japan. We have some corrections to make, but still listen to that episode.
Yeah, so the first thing I want to talk about is hentai. Hentai means like opposite or backwards. But
is that what it really means?
Yeah.
Huh.
But what it actually is like animated porn. I'm sure you've seen it. It's on Pornhub. It's on all those sites. But in Japan, they have these bookstores. One of the big ones is called Mandrake. And in Tokyo, they have this bookstore that the entire floor is just hentai. It's just like porn comics, porn DVDs, porn everything. And the majority of it is just cartoon porn. And actually, I lied. There was actually more than one story. So the entire bookstore is about 7 stories tall. And one of the stories is just like for regular heterosexual hentai. And then if you go up a story, it's actually more gay hentai or hentai for women. So there's like, they kind of lump that all together, but there's like hentai that's more directed at girls who want to, I don't know. I actually didn't really look into a lot of that. All of the books are completely covered in plastic, so you can't really see what's inside of them until you buy them. And they range from like $1 up to like $15. But one of the craziest things is that they allow child porn in Japan. Given it's animated, it's not real, but they still allow it. That being said, there is actually like toddler stuff as well. Like there is no age limit. Like when you go into these stores, it's not like a super prominent thing. It's not like every single book is that. But if you search around a little bit, you can definitely find stuff that is not accepted anywhere else.
Yeah, they're not hiding it in the way that my American sensibilities would lead to. Like in the sex doll section, right? They have these really expensive like silicone life-size sex dolls. And some of them are anime looking girls with these like crazy proportions. And some of them were like 5 and 6 year old looking like prepubescent life-sized child dolls with changeable parts. And to me, that was kind of fucking horrifying. Made me feel very gaggy. But on the flip side, if I have to argue this, we looked it up and the rates of like child molestation and rape are way lower in Japan.
Yeah, sexual assault is like one of the lowest in the world.
Yes, so I don't know if it's that like people who are pedophiles, I have heard, I don't know if this is true, please do your own research, but I've heard that people who are actually pedophiles, it's often a really huge chemical imbalance in their brain. So I don't know if some people are like just born where their brains are fucking wired wrong, and this could be a predisposition that's really, I mean, awful, but maybe if they like had a doll, it helps them not hurt people. I don't know if that's the reasoning behind Japan letting all this stuff be legal, but I was absolutely shocked. I have never seen things just like out in the store. Like, it wasn't hidden behind a curtain. It was just like, well, what parts do you want? Or do you want a child? And everyone seemed really nonchalant about it, and that was hella weird.
So my take on this is that I think because they allow you to imagine this stuff in pictures and maybe like with a doll, maybe it lets some of those urges out, or some of that like taboo-ness isn't there like it would be in the US. And I think maybe because people are able to kind of imagine and act on these ideas with themselves, they don't have to act out on other people. It's kind of a weird thing to say, but like I feel like maybe in the US where they're like, no, there's a hard boundary there.
Don't even think about it.
That's a fucked up thought. And because it's so taboo, it makes it almost interesting for people potentially. I don't know. But that's my thought, is that maybe in Japan, because they're not afraid of it and they're not like trying to make it incredibly taboo, people are allowed to explore that idea, and then
it takes away some of the novelty of it. It's not this like high price point item. You know, they're not like child sex trafficking people in Japan in the same way that the States have this huge issue. So I don't know if that's a net positive, net negative. It sounds positive, but it still made me feel very, very strange. So that was in the stores. Key also looked at a lot of the other books and toys, and they just have a lot of shit for sale that I've never seen anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, it was cool. Like, the bookstore had, like, literally, like, tens of thousands of books, I would say. Like, there was just so much that's created, like, on a monthly basis. I think, like, it's just, like, a really popular thing in Japan. And that's another, like, style of art and style of reading and style of sexuality that I haven't seen anywhere else. Like, that's not something you can really explore in the U.S. that I'm aware of. It's not.
One thing that Key told me, I didn't see it personally, but he said that there are entire series where they make pornos around certain characters, and then you can, like, buy the, like, new editions every week that come out.
Yeah, one thing that they have, I didn't fully understand this completely, but I think what they said is that you can use a character from a TV show or something, and as long as the booklet is under 200 pages, it's not counted as copyright infringement in Japan.
So you can make Harry Potter porn, Star Wars porn, anything.
It was really hard to read what sections I was in or whatever else. Like, it's all in, you know, Japanese characters. But, like, they have a whole section for different characters that you can, like, look into and explore.
So could you make multiple books that are just short enough to not be claimed as copyright, and then you can use any known character in existence? So, like, Marvel characters, Disney characters, and they couldn't come
to you? I guess
the
only thing is I didn't see a lot of characters like that. I was looking for, like, okay, is there going to be people that I recognize? No, it was more like Japanese characters. Mm. Maybe they were big in Japanese shows or something. Yeah, and there was almost nothing in English. I didn't see any of the hentai translated into English. And even just, like, the regular manga was incredibly difficult to find in English. Like, there were a couple that I found, like, maybe three books that I found in English, and they were, like, six times the price. So it's definitely not, like, really accessible for an English-speaking audience, but you could, like, take it and, like, translate it with Google Translate or something like that if you wanted to.
That feels like a lot of work. He actually sat there and, like, Google translated individual pages to get through this story. I cannot be bothered.
Yeah, I was really interested to see I was trying to figure out what Japanese sexuality was going to be like, and I thought maybe I could get some insight with these books, which I can't really say that I got any insight from them, other than the fact that they really like doing stuff on trains. There was one book I got where every scenario in the entire book was just about, like, girls on trains and then guys, like, meeting them and having sex with them.
Girls have bangs and they're all in skirts.
Yeah, but that's kind of true with the people in Japan, too. I feel like a lot of the girls are in skirts. It's just a way to look over there. For me, I have to say it was pretty satisfying for me being able to explore sexuality in that way. I think so often in the US, I'm so used to, like, just watching a porn and then getting off that way. But there's something really magical about looking at it as art as well, and kind of reading a story and kind of getting into it a little bit. I don't know. It was just something that I haven't explored, and it felt pretty exciting to me to get to explore that.
Ah, the magic of art.
The magic of new things.
Animated titties.
All right, so going back to the sex store. So we went into what was supposedly the biggest sex store in the world. It was, like, maybe seven.
In the whole world or just
in
Japan?
That's what they said. It was the biggest one in the world.
Huh.
And I think there's about seven stories, maybe. Down in, like, the basement, you had to go down a set of stairs. That's where the sex dolls were. There was some, like, hentai. There was some other stuff like that. There was actually a vending machine that gave out used panties as well.
Yeah.
You had to pay for those, but...
Yeah, you have to buy... I think it was, like, $5 a pair or something. I think it depended on what they were. But, yeah, for men who want to pick up a used pair of panties to sniff on their way to work, you can just pop by a vending machine. What I want to know, like, logistically, if anyone has the answer, please tell me, how do they restock the machines so that the panties smell is fresh? Like, Are they like harvesting underwear from like...
And they seal it in like a little plastic
ball. Yeah, but are they like restocking fresh underwear every day? Like, wouldn't you be pissed if you like paid your $5 and then you got stale panties instead of fresh ones?
I mean, it's sealed. It's got like all the...
I guess.
Smell in the...
Yeah, I don't know. And some of them, you can like see them through the plastic bag. Some of them are pretty raunchy looking. And to me, as a woman who knows what healthy underwear is supposed to look like, I went... Some of those look like fucking yeast infections. Like, the amount of stuff on some of those underwear, maybe to make them have a smell. And I don't know if it's all real, or maybe some of it's, like, synthetic. But just the fact that some men in Japan want to pay to smell dirty underwear, and it's publicly available. Just like you could also buy hot corn soup. Not out of the same vending machine, but it's interesting. You can buy hot soup out of any vending machine in Japan.
I actually thought the sex store was really good. I thought it had a lot more variety and interesting stuff than most of the sex stores we've been to. One thing I did notice... I feel like in the U.S. and Australia and other places we've been, they have these massive cocks, like these huge like dildos. And I didn't see very many that big in Japan.
That's an interesting point.
I didn't see that. Like, they were a lot smaller in general, but like the girls' toy section was huge. Like, there was a million different things. Like, in a million different colors.
Way more variety for female toys, and they were all way more like reasonably sized. Like, if you've ever been to a sex store in America or Canada... You know, they have these huge, like, porn star-looking dildos and, like, fisting things and just these toys that don't look like they could possibly fit in your body or feel good. It's kind of like the shock factor. But in Japan, they were all like, oh, God, what was it? There was an entire aisle of ones that looked like they could have been, like, table art. They were, like a little turtle or a dolphin or, like, these really cute purple little, like... Like, they just looked really cute and soft and, like, these little toys that you could just carry around in your purse, and it wasn't this grotesque, like, genital-looking thing.
Yeah,
they had vibrators that you could wear as necklaces.
Like lipstick
ones. Yeah, ones that looked like bracelets. It was very, like, cute, classy, and felt a lot more discreet and friendly. And as a woman, I think often when I walk into sex stores in America, it kind of makes me have this, like, gross feeling of, like, Jesus Christ, like, why are there dicks all over the walls? Like, I... You know, it's very off-putting to me, but the ones in Japan, at least in the girl section, it was very delicate and feminine, and I thought they had a very nice job until you went down to the basement and saw the baby dolls. That was nasty.
So then, the floor underneath that was a bunch of lubes. Like, they have an entire section just of lubes, like a huge area.
Tingly lube, cold lube, hot lube, peppermint lube.
Yeah, and they have, like, a lot of them are branded with... Okay, so not only the lube, but the lube and fake vaginas are branded to, like, anime characters. So, like, you watch an anime character in a show, and then you get a vagina that's shaped like her.
But they look really weird on the inside. They have, like, all these, like...
Tentacles,
like, and rubbery bits and lumps and, like, weird textury things.
I don't know. I guess you could also put those into, like, a sex doll, or you could just use them with your hand or whatever. But they also had different hardnesses of rubber. So, like, you could go and there was, like, a tester section. You could, like, test and
see. Put your fingers in them and you could test, like...
Yeah, they had, like, six different levels.
Yeah, mouths, buttholes, vaginas of all different textures, shapes, colors. And you can mix and match it with, like, your favorite temperature or scented lube. It was literally, like, a wall of vaginas. And it was fascinating just being like, ah, you can...
And so
make your custom match.
This is something that I've always been interested in. Like, I've always been like, oh, that'd be fun to try one day. And then I was in the store and Lily was like, well, why don't you just try it? And I was like, okay, fuck, I'll get it. So I ended up getting one that was like not too expensive.
Not the vagina, just
the clarification. No, just like the little, like the hand thing. Because also we've heard that it's better for men to use something like this that's really soft and is like a little bit less intense than using your hand. We've heard that like using your hand in the long run can make you less like sensitive when it comes to being with a partner.
Apparently, I think Esther Perel, like the sex therapist, was the one who talked about this, but that a lot of men have desensitized themselves because of how hard they grip themselves and are very rough with their manly parts, so that if you have like an external toy that forces you to be gentler, you're able to like maintain that softness, and then sex can actually be more pleasurable for you and your partner because your partner's body isn't expected to take that much force to let you have the same feeling. You know, so if you keep everything a little bit, like, calmer and softer, then it could be better for everyone all around. We're testing the theory out so far. I think that's a yes.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was cool. I used it with Lily. Like, it was my first time experiencing that.
And, we tried to figure it out together.
Yeah, it was great. The experience was 10 out of 10. I actually, yeah, it was better than I thought it was going to be.
Especially I call it the squishy.
For being, like, $15, I think is what it cost. Like, why not? Why not give it a go? You know, it's an interesting thing to...
It kind of looks like a little jellyfish or something. And it looks like a friend. Like, honestly, if we just had it out on a table, I don't think people would know what the fuck it is. We were a little worried when we were going through airport security that they were going to pull it out and be like, what is this? And I probably could have just made something up. I could have been like, it's a stress ball. Like, it just, it's this weird...
Yeah, people also say sometimes squishy. That they're like doctor, like recommended for medical use or something.
It looks way too much fun to be a medical use thing.
They also had these little eggs, and they were like a tiny little like, looked like a chocolate egg or like an Easter egg.
Yeah, like a Kinder Surprise.
And then you open it up and then it becomes a rubber thing that you can like stretch over yourself. but it's like, it's really small. Like, I guess it can stretch, and I guess you could also potentially, oh, one of the things that I saw that I was somewhat interested in, they have this like little square silicone thing that you put on your fingers and then you can finger your girlfriend with it. And I guess one of the thoughts is that like, obviously like, you know, you don't have your nails to like, you know, and they have these texturized things and everything. And
yeah, we didn't buy those, but from the pamphlets and what we could gauge from just not being able to read the Japanese instructions is that if you're a person who's into fingering a lot, it just puts like different textured pads and like little wiggly things on your fingers so that you could just have more sensation that way. But they had a lot of toys like that where they weren't necessarily to like completely disrupt your sex life with your partner, but they were just like things that you could add in. Yeah. Like a little bit here or a little bit there, kind of mix and match depending on what you were looking for. And I thought that was nice that they seemed very accommodating of like a wide range of preferences.
Yeah, it was interesting. They had a bunch of like CBD products too. That's our doggo barking right there. Yeah, like regular weed is not allowed, but CBD is. So I think, I don't know if you're supposed to use it to like relax your muscles or I don't know what it's for, but they did have a couple like lubes and stuff that were CBD.
What was your favorite thing about the sex stores in Japan?
Just all the weird things that I saw. It was very different than anything I'd seen in the States. Like, I guess you could find these things, but like they had like dick pumps, but they also let you test them too. Like
on your hand.
But like you could like go and like see what these things were actually like. They had like a shibari robe, super cool. I didn't see that.
They had candles. We bought one of those.
Yeah, we got like I think the candle that we bought is actually just like a normal candle though, because it doesn't feel much.
It kind of hurts more than it's supposed to, I think.
Yeah.
We've tried it out with everyone who lives in our house. There's like 7 people who've been burnt by this candle now because the wax is not like a soft, yummy wax. It's like a, that kind of fucking burns wax.
Yeah, I actually don't mind. I think it's kind of cool.
But we have videos now of all of our roommates with wax stuck on them. It's great.
Yeah. They had a whole section on just like outfits and role playing and everything like that. So it was cool to see something different because I swear that every sex store I've ever gone into felt very the same and this felt different. Okay, so... an update on our last episode. We talked about the girls like kind of crying or whatever else.
At the strip show.
Yeah, and like that's kind of like an accepted thing in sexuality. Well, we've talked to a couple people now and we've looked on forums online and we did a bunch of research. And I guess it's kind of like someone explained it as this is their aesthetic that they like. They like it when women don't want to have sex. They like it when they're just more shy and it's not something they think about and...
innocent to a fault.
So one of the things I read on some forums online, I was like looking at different people from other parts of the world dating Japanese people. And one of the girls said she was dating a Japanese man and they'd been together for a little while. And one day they had just finished having sex and he was like leaving for work. And she was like, oh, I'll be like right here in bed when you get back. And then he turned around and got super angry at her. He's like, what, like, you always think about sex? Like, you should go be a porn star. Like, you know, you're thinking about this too much. So it seems like in Japan, it's kind of a bad thing if the girl wants to have sex. You know, like, even if she wants to, it's not something that she would openly show.
Yeah, it was strange for me to hear that because I think, especially in the Western world, it's considered sexy when a woman wants to have sex with you, especially if it's, like, your girlfriend or your wife when they go, honey, I'm so excited for you to come home tonight. I want to have some spicy time with you. But that if you do that in Japan, your husband will think that you're a slag and it's a turnoff. So I guess the wives are supposed to be very kind of submissive and not interested in sex. And if you do engage with them, that it's meant to kind of be something that they're not interested in and they're pushing away a little bit and they're kind of upset about because they're so pure that... I don't know. The whole complex is a little bit strange to me, but it works for them.
Yeah, and actually, I talked to a Chinese girl after this, and I was like, is it the same in China? And she's like, no. She's like, well, it depends, like, where you are in China. But she said that that's just, like, a very Japanese thing. That's just how they like to be. But she also talked about how, like, in different regions it might be different as well, because she was talking about how in China, like, there are certain regions where the girls are more spicy, and the girls in other regions are more, like, subdued. And she also talked about how... in some regions, they look for more of a manly man, like a muscly...
high T.
Yeah, like an alpha male. And then in other areas, they look for more feminine men.
K-pop boys who have makeup and soft little dainty hands.
Yeah, so I think it could vary around Japan, but I think at least in Tokyo, it seemed like they were more into like the more feminine men and a little bit more...
passive women. I think maybe the way that I felt in Japan is that the entire culture is very introverted. So it's not just that the women are meant to be kind of shy and meek, but also the men are a lot more shy and meek, in my experience, right? So everyone in society has kind of been pushed to the far left of that scale where, you know, you're humble and you're polite and you stay small and you speak quietly and your hair is nice and you smell good and you're just kind of very calm, which almost feels like the opposite of American sexuality, which is that, you know, men are meant to kind of be big and loud and fight over women, and women are supposed to be really erotic and, like, sexually put on display to attract these high-power males, and it's a lot of, like, peacocking and money. And in Japan, it was kind of like, you just don't talk about it, don't look at people, we're not even going to go there. And there's a lot of shame and kind of secrecy around it, which was weird for me. But again, they don't assault people, so maybe it works out better for society as a whole, even if it feels a little bit less empowering as an individual.
So another thing they have in Japan is an area called the Soapland area. And it's not just an area, like, they call Soaplands, like, kind of brothels in Japan. And there are multiple ways that you can figure out about these. Like, they have these, like, agents that will come and help you take care of stuff. So, like, just say you wanted to get a prostitute in Japan, you could talk to an agent and he'd be able to find a prostitute for you, or whatever you're looking for, he can kind of arrange it.
It's really hard if you're a foreigner, though. A lot of them will not work with white people.
Yeah, so that's one of the things.
Not just white people, it's funny. I'm used to just saying that, but, like, American, Western, Europeaners, anyone who's not a local Japanese person, they will often not work with you.
Yeah. And I think part of that is just because of the language barrier. They really want to make sure that you understand the rules and everything like that. They don't want you to... And this is the same with, like, swinger clubs and like, sex parties, because we heard there are quite a few in Japan. But the same thing, they want you to have at least, like... They want your partner to be Japanese. They want to make sure that you understand Japanese, understand the rules before you enter into any of those establishments. So we had a friend who went to one of these soap lands. And we'll tell you about his experience. So he said that he went there and... He was just, like, hoping that they would accept him in, and one of the places turned him down straight away. It was like, no, like, we don't take any foreigners. And he thought it was gonna be the same at all the places. So he walked down the street a little bit, and he found another place that ended up being like, okay, come in. And he said it cost about $200. I think I'm pretty sure that they asked for a lot more in the beginning, and then he kind of worked it down to $200. But he said he had a really great experience. He said it was the girl was really pretty. He said she spoke pretty good English.
Well, what did he say that, like, the rules were when he went in the waiting room? Because we asked him a lot of questions because we just want to understand, like, how does it work? Do you have to fill out paperwork? Like, were there other Western people in the room? And I think he said that he was one of the only Westerners. It was mostly Japanese men who tended to be younger and actually pretty good looking, that it's a very common thing. And a lot of these guys are just, like, on their way home from work and had stopped in to, you know, take care of their stuff before going home to their wives. And a lot of them had wedding rings on, which I thought was interesting. Yeah. And that there were signs up that... We're asking the men to please, like, shave their area before...
No, they said don't shave.
Oh, don't shave because it's prickly. But, like, either, like, be clean shaven or don't shave it because we don't want you to be prickly. But it's nice that they're actually, like, putting forth the needs of the female workers in the facility, I thought.
They also said that you have to have, like, no body odor as well. There's, like, signs up in the place saying, like, if you have body odor, they might turn you down. He also said that he was limited with the women he could choose from. He said that there's only two people available, but he said there was like...
Who
would work with foreigners. But there was a lot of guys coming in and out. It was just that there was only two girls who would be okay with that.
What were the services that they had offered there, do you know?
I'm pretty sure it's just anything goes. I think you could probably request certain things and like... I mean, not anything goes. I'm not saying that. But I think like you could have sex with them for that $200. You could do whatever you wanted. And
for the same price?
Yeah, and if you wanted anything in particular, you just have to ask. And then, you know, they talk with the girl and see if that's...
I would be surprised. I... Try to talk to a couple of our friends who've gone and had experiences there. And one thing I heard a lot of as being offered as like a, you know, like when they try and upsell you, is that a lot of people, I guess, want to pee or poop on Japanese girls or be pooped or peed on by Japanese girls. And that's just like a very common, like, you know, I don't know. I was just surprised how much like signage and advertisement we saw for things like that. But I assume that the more full service you want, the price would go up, and that it would change what types of girls are available. Like if you're into something very kink or fetish, often there's different people available for those types of clients.
So I guess one other thing, in Japan, you're not allowed to like sell sex. So like even if there was like a pamphlet or something, it would say like a vagina job.
Oh yeah, it would say a pussy job because they can't say sex. Yeah,
but I'm pretty sure like when you go back behind closed doors, that actually happens, but just they're not allowed to advertise it. So you can be like, I want a hand job or I want something else, but you can't say I want to have sex.
Yeah, it's very interesting because the brothels and the red light districts feel so like public. Like it literally will just say things like all the love hotels and the brothels, but then the actual services being sold inside have to be kind of shrouded in mystery a little bit, even though everyone knows what it is. So I don't know how that loophole works with the laws or if people are just being bribed or if it's just kind of understood. And I don't know.
I mean, he said that even in the place, like they didn't advertise that. And yeah.
Right, but how did he find it?
Well, I mean, it's like Soapland is the name of that area.
Right, but everyone knows what it is when you go there.
Yeah, so, like, anyway, so what he told us is that when he went in there, he said that she was like super like considerate and like took all of his clothes and like folded them and like washed him down and everything. And then he said it was exactly like the Pornhub videos where they're on like an inflatable mattress and they use like the Nuru and stuff and they do this whole massage thing. And yeah, he highly recommended it.
So, Key, what would your final thoughts be on Japan? Who is Japan good for?
Okay, so I think Japan is really fun if you're looking for some novelty and you want to explore by yourself. You want to like go to some sex stores, read some hentai, just see new sexual things that you haven't seen in the Western world. I don't think it's a great place
if you're actually trying to meet or date Japanese girls or marry one, because they won't have sex with you.
Yeah, I think that's a longer term goal. If you're actually trying to get a Japanese girlfriend, I think you have to learn the language, because I also heard that a lot of the women don't even want to like enter into a relationship with a man because they're like, he's never going to understand what I'm trying to say. Like, we don't even like consider Western men because even if he looks good, like, we're not going to have a good relationship. That being said, we also looked up online and it said that like a huge amount, like 80% of marriages lasted for a really, really long time without divorce between American men and Japanese women. I think there's something about the cultures that work well together. Like the women are submissive and like kind of like...
Well, and that the women in Japan don't see sex work as cheating. So all of a sudden these American or Western men kind of have a hall pass that they wouldn't have back in their home country. So I think they feel like they have a lot more freedom. And perhaps that smooths out a lot of bumps in the road.
If you're a woman going to Japan, I think you have to really be into a more feminine man to find enjoyment there.
Or at least like soft-spoken, more introverted, not as physically affectionate. Like I didn't see a lot of Japanese couples like making out in public in the park. Like they would hold hands like quietly on the bus, but it's not a lot of, you know, very physical affection being shown, which is not the way I run. So just be aware of what you're getting yourself into.
Like, I think they're some of the kindest people I've ever met. Like people went out of their way to help us multiple
very
times.
Very considerate.
Yeah. I just think if you're looking for a man to be super alpha, throw people against a wall and be like domineering, you're probably not going to get that in Japan. I'm not saying it's impossible, but you have a far less likelihood of that happening.
Okay, so that's all we had. We just wanted to update you guys because we felt like we learned more information since the end of that last episode. And Japan's a wild place, so go. Just know what you're getting yourself into. If you have any more specific questions, feel free to reach out to us on the How to Have Threesomes Instagram page. We are back active. I am responding to all of you guys. And of course, as always, the video course is live. It is selling. We are helping people make all their dreams come true. Until next week.